This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Do you ever see those videos of, like, farm animals, like pigs, or you ever see the videos of, like, drunk raccoons?
No, you know what it is. You know the baby goats.
The little baby goats?
When they get stunned, yeah. They just freeze and then fall over.
Like, I know there's a video out there of, like, pigs that get into either grapes or mushrooms or something.
Yeah, it's like blueberries or cherries or something. They're fermented.
So they're like completely hammered.
Yeah.
And then they roll down the hill.
Yeah.
And they're just hammered, and these pigs are just rolling down the hill. They can't stop because they're just hammered. That was Gene Greco right there in that last segment. He was stunned.
I didn't think that there was anything that could break Gene Greco.
Wow.
Little did I know.
How about that?
To break Gene Greco, all you had to do was come up with a claymation cartoon about a man having a giant Dillerman, which is the Danish word for pee-pee.
Yeah. And so, like, it wasn't like he was censoring himself.
I just don't think he could come up with anything.
That was great. That was awesome. And then he got out of here because he didn't want
to. Well, he's a busy man, Chris. He's got to do all the newses.
Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We're getting ready for Wild Card Weekend. It's one of my favorite weekends of the year, and we get two extra games this year: Bears and Saints on Sunday. And as we head towards this game, we continue to try and figure out whether or not the Bears are going to be able to score enough on offense, whether or not the defense is going to be able to limit Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, and the Saints offense that I think we're all expecting to be able to put up some points against this Bears defense. So it's the Bears offense. Can you score enough? Can the Bears defense limit the Saints enough to allow Trubisky and the offense to keep pace? And that is something that I think we have seen as of late, especially when they play the Packers, is that you get into these situations where the possessions start to fall out of your handle and in your kicking field goals, and now there's two scores on the board, now a third score, now you're down, it's 21-10, and all these lopsided scores. Can the Bears overall offense score enough points, defense limit the Saints enough to keep this game tight and close into the fourth quarter to give them a chance on Sunday?
I've told you all week that my key to this game is turning those field goals that you had against the Packers into touchdowns. Have the same game plan. Keep Drew Brees, keep Alvin Kamara, keep Michael Thomas, keep them all on the sidelines, and have those long and sustained drives that we want the Bears to have, running the ball, getting Trubisky out in space, rolling him out, mixing in play action, all that stuff. That's what you need to do. You need to have those 7-8 minute long drives. They just can't end in field goals, because the way this defense has been playing as of late, the Saints, having one of the better offenses in the NFL, are just going to come down and march right down the field and score. We've seen it. The Bears can't stop anyone right now. You know, aside from the Jacksonville game, aside from the Texans game, they've really struggled against good offenses. I mean, look what the Packers did to them. Look what the Packers did to them twice this season. I mean, if you go back and look at this game against the Saints the first time around, you know, it was a 26-23 loss that went to overtime. So you gave up 26 points to the Saints. I would say since then, the Saints are a much better team. And I don't know if the Bears are, quote-unquote, a much better team, but I don't know if that's really actually a better team. Does that make sense?
It's two things. It's stat-wise, they have been better. But eyeball test, have they really been better? You have to pair both of those together. And I think a Bears fan who's been following along this entire season, you didn't wake up 3 weeks ago, you realize that this team has limitations. They can beat teams that are really bad in the National Football League. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to be a negative about with that. But then when you go up in class and you face off against better teams in the National Football League, do you really have the firepower to withstand drives, and then also score points when you're in the red zone? That's also something that has been a problem for Trubisky in the offense, is you get into the red zone against Jacksonville and you throw a pick. You get into the red zone against Minnesota, you can seal the game. You throw a pick.
Mm-hmm.
This has happened more times than not throughout the last season, and especially here down the stretch, even though the stats would suggest that the offense is playing much better. There are plays being left on the field.
Look at the last two games for the Saints. 52-33 win against the Vikings, 33-7 win against the Panthers. I know the Panthers aren't good. I know the Vikings are okay, but you still put up 52 points against an NFL team. You lost to the Chiefs 32-29. You competed with the Chiefs. Do we think on any Earth stratosphere, on anywhere on any of the Rick and Morty dimensions that we can talk about, any of the dimensions, would the Bears lose a game to the Chiefs by one score? Do we think that that's possible?
In this season?
In any universe within the multiverse? I'm talking about this season in the multiverse, any universe in the multiverse. We use the Rick and Morty gun. We go to that game. Is there any universe we could go to where the Bears lose by one score? Where they lose 32-29 to the Chiefs?
I would guess no.
I just keep seeing all of these the prognosticators, as Mongo would say, that are picking this Saints team to represent the NFC, and they're doing it for a reason. You know, the Bears are a double-digit dog for a reason. Yes, I know they're on the road. That means if they were at home, though, they'd still be a 7-point dog if you're going with that 3 points for having home field advantage. So, to me, I just don't see a recipe other than ball control, keep running the ball, ground game, keeping the ball out of the offense's hands of the Saints, and making sure that those field goals end up in touchdowns. That, to me, is the only way that they end up beating this team.
You want to talk football with us? You can call us at 312-332-3776. James and Kearney, you're on ESPN 1000. What do you think of this matchup, James?
James?
I can tell you that. But, Chris, on your question, man, 21-10, what has to happen there? Let's put in perspective. Mitch is going to have to – can't cut the field in half. He's going to have to drop back. He's going to have to come off his first and
James.
Recognize the defense after snap and get it with second and third and fourth. So if that's the question you're asking, Christopher, no way. No way do we come back 21-10. Unless, I know you don't want to hear it, you're going to get pissed at Dolly. He's going to get mad at me, Dolly, 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 unless he comes off the bench and does his playoff magic. Oh, I didn't just say that. I love you guys. Have a great evening. You're kicking the tush-ish out of this. Great job. Bye, boy.
Thank you, James.
I appreciate the phone call. Thank you.
Yeah, it's starting a Friday early on a Thursday. Is that what we've got?
I think what he was alluding to was that
he suggests that Nick Foles is going to come off the bench and bring the Bears back to victory.
He was saying that there would be magic, like that if you look
Love
at
James.
The like if you look at the game against the Saints, the Bears were down 23-13 in the fourth with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter, right? And so then they orchestrate a long drive. It takes up 6 minutes and 25 seconds. They come back. They score a touchdown. It's 23-20 New Orleans. And then they get the ball back. They have a field goal, 23-23. And then they go to overtime. And we all know what happens in overtime is that the Saints end up winning on a field goal. I don't see a way you can come back against this Saints team if you're down. And I think that's the point that James and Gurney was trying to make. This is the second ranked defense on DVOA. And I'm going to say it every day this week. I'm going to try to say it every day this week.
Of course you are. It's your favorite thing to say.
It's a great stat. It's a great metric. Don't act like you don't like it. So they're second in defense in DVOA. They're a seventh in offense in DVOA. They're number one overall. They are the number one team in DVOA. You want to go with weighted DVOA, Chris, where they put more weight on
Wait
the
it for me.
It's weighted DVOA, which means they put more of a meaning on the later games of the season when teams are actually what they are as they head into the playoffs. They're second in weighted DVOA. So we're talking about the second best team or the first best team, the best team, whichever way you want to look at it, in the NFL. And we're talking about one of the second worst team, according to DVOA, in the playoffs. The worst team would be actually the third worst team, the third from the worst, because Washington comes in at 16th and Cleveland comes in at 18th. So the Bears are 15th right now in DVOA. I just don't see it unless Matt Nagy can turn field goals into touchdowns and the defense has to show up. And with the injuries, I don't want to hear it on Monday. I don't want to hear that the defense let this team down, because remember who they're missing. They're missing Jalen Johnson. They're missing Roquan Smith. They're missing Buster Screen. And that is going to be a huge loss for them to try to make up for that, because they don't have depth.
Jalen Johnson might play.
Jalen Johnson. Okay, if he plays, then come at, then say all you want. Okay. If the guys play, say it all you want. If the guys play, say, but you're missing, who's probably been your best defensive player this year?
Roquan Smith.
He's probably not going to play.
And that's a big blow for this defense.
Okay.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Have you been chatting offline with Khalil Mack this week?
No.
Offline? Mm-mm. You're having combos with Khalil Mm-mm. Mack?
All I know, if you look
at... He says he's hearing things that people are disrespecting this defense. Is he listening to this show? Was he listening to the show like two nights ago when we were arguing over this?
Oh, listen, I will gladly...
Captain Statboy, you and your stats down, for your defense.
If it comes down to it, you know who Khalil Mack is taking sides with, and you know it's my size, and that's fine. I'll stand here toe-to-toe with you with Khalil Mack behind me, and we'll see how it goes.
Do I get Akeem Hicks?
Huh?
Do I get Akeem Hicks on my side?
No, because you're trashing the defense.
I'm not trashing the defense.
All you are is trashing the defense.
I have not trashed the defense.
You have.
I've only pointed out that they're not as good as they were in 2018.
Okay.
And even at times in 2019.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you know where Khalil Mack ranks in edge rushers this season?
Stat boy. I don't need the stats.
Do you
want
to know where he is?
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
He is great. He is really good. They've got to win a football game this weekend.
But why is
I hope they do.
But it's not 100% on them.
No, I know. But what is this? You're building in excuses before we get to the game?
I'm not building in excuses.
You can't say the defense. What if the defense goes out there and is terrible? You're going to say that at no point. You're the one on this program who has said that Chuck Pagano should and might get fired at the end of the season.
That's sacrificial lamb, bro. Don't get that twisted.
Where does that come from then? Why would you fire him if you have all the stats pointing out how great this defense is?
Because I'm not the front office. There's a lot of things I would do if I was the front office. I wouldn't let the fact that they made the playoffs cloud my judgment as to who this team actually is and what they've become. I wouldn't let an 8-8 record and backing into the playoffs cloud my decisions and say, hey, is Matt Nagy getting the job done? Is Ryan Pace getting the job done? I wouldn't let that affect me.
You're infuriating to do a show with.
I understand that.
I mean,
what?
312-332-3776.
I'm going to call my buddy Khalil, and we're just going
to. I think you're talking to Khalil offline. You're not including me or Sean on the show.
I don't think you want to be included.
You're offline. You're telling him, hey, man, Bleck's a hater. All these pundits are out here trashing your team, trashing the defense, which is not the case. Who's trashing the defense? No one's trashing the defense.
You have trashed the defense on multiple occasions.
Did you see the Packers game?
Yeah, I saw the Packers game.
You're right. Who are you blaming for that? It's all Trubisky. Are you just going to go?
I'm blaming the offense's inability.
Trash can the quarterback? Is that what it is?
You know what I'm blaming in the Packers game? In the Packers game where they gave up 35, they only scored 16.
Those points didn't count, though, right? Because Buster Screen wasn't there? Is that what you're doing?
No. I'm blaming the offense for starting the game with a 2-yard touchdown run drive that took up 7 minutes and 30 seconds, yeah. And then one in field goal, another field goal, and then another field goal. Yep. Yeah.
Blame the offense.
You had an 11-play yard that took up an 11-play drive that took up 87 yards and 7 minutes off the clock, and all you got was a field goal? Get out of here.
Your phone call's next. Chris in Crown Point, you're up first.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Break. It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Chris in Crown Point, Indiana. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Pleasure to talk to you. You guys are my generation. I'm 36, so I've been listening to you guys for a while.
Thanks, man. Chris.
What's up?
I'm also 36.
Yeah, actually, Abdallah, we met at Tailgaters one time with my wife. But anyway, moving on.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Drew Brees is, he's healing from, 5-6 fractured ribs and a punctured lung, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone that's watched his last few games, he's not really been the same guy. So I guess my question is, let's say, we haven't been checking the quarterback lately. We all know that. Let's say John Jenkins, Akeem Hicks, or Bilal Nichols happens to get a sack and fall on him. Do you think throughout the duration of the rest of the game, we might be able to keep points with them?
If you're able to limit Drew Brees, is that what you're asking for, Chris? And I thank you for the phone call. I think the one thing to kind of consider, since Drew Brees has been back in the starting lineup with the Saints lost to Kansas City on the 20th of December. Brees went 15 of 34, 234 yards, three touchdowns, one interception. The following week, it was a Friday night game on Christmas against Minnesota. The Saints put up 52 points, 52 to 33. He went 19 of 26, 311 yards, no touchdowns, two interceptions. They blow out the Vikings. And then in week 17, the Saints beat the Panthers 33 to 7. Brees goes 22 for 32, 201 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. The thing that I would take away from this, Abdallah, is that the Drew Brees that we were used to back in the day, high completion percentage, of course the 300-plus yards, but also throwing for it almost like 40 times a game with like 30 completions. Like, that Drew Brees is not what we have anymore, but what we have now is a lower completion total from Brees, but a lot of yardage from guys like Kamara and others who are around him who can hurt the defense. So, you know, to answer Chris's question, yeah, if the Bears' front four can get to Drew Brees, we've seen it in the past, and usually it plays out more when the Saints are on the road, that if you can rattle Brees, and we've seen it in those playoff games in the past at Soldier Field, if you can rattle and disrupt him with your pass rush, the Saints' offense never takes off. The problem is, go back to the game earlier this season that the Saints beat the Bears, and it wasn't necessary for Brees to really have all day to pass because he was dumping it off to Kamara over the middle mm-hmm. against linebackers, and Kamara was running free will down the line, down the field. Like, we couldn't stop him, and Roquan Smith is likely to be out.
Yeah, and if you look at them, you know, they still average 30 points per game. They're still top five in, they're fifth in points per game. As far as scoring. And if you look at it on the other side, I'm focusing on, to me, this still seems like a Bears offense against this defense. This Saints defense, like I mentioned, they're second overall in DVOA, but they're third in passing. They're second against the run. So, you know, Bill Barnwell wrote this whole thing about every single game and points out that because they're second against the run, you're not going to be able to run all over them the way that the Bears were able to against the Packers. You know, the Packers aren't as good. That defense isn't as good against the run as the Saints are. The Saints have definitely shored up their run-stopping ability. So I don't think you're going to be able to put up those kind of numbers the yardage numbers that you saw against the Packers. Obviously, the points weren't there because they only scored one touchdown and then they had field goals throughout the rest of the game. But to me, the opportunities aren't going to be there. And converting third downs into first downs, I don't think is going to be there as well for the Bears. Look, the defense might have a great game, but if you can't score against the Saints, what good is it going to do?
Marshawn, Westside, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Marshawn?
Hey, how you doing? I was actually in agreement with Abdallah about the Saints' defense. What I wanted to talk about was the fact that everyone is like, I feel like everyone is ganging up on the Bears defense. When things did count, that was the only people that was keeping them inside the game, and the offense wasn't doing their job. Now that the defense has pretty much given up, it's like everybody's attacking the defense. And it's like, I'm looking at it like the defense has always been there. The offense has always been inconsistent. And with the offense being inconsistent and the Saints being as good as they are as protecting the run, we're going to need them to score more than 33 points on the road against the Saints. And I don't see that happening with the quarterback that we have, with neither one of them.
No, that's a good call, Marshawn. Appreciate it.
No, that's a good point. And that's what I've been trying to say, is that with this defense hurts, and if Jalen Johnson comes back, that's a huge boost for their depleted secondary. But not having Roquan Smith is going to be huge. And after he left the game, you know, the Packers did score two touchdowns in that at the end of the game. So he's going to be hugely missed. Now, you still have Akeem Hicks. You still have Khalil Mack. You still have Robert Quinn. I know he hasn't performed, but you paid him a lot of money, and this is when he's supposed to perform. It's the playoffs. You still have Eddie Jackson, last I checked. You still have Kyle Fuller, last I checked. So, yes, you're depleted, but even this depleted Bears team should still be able to hang around. You would think, with all that star power, they'd be able to hang around. Losing Roquan Smith is going to be huge, but I think that they have enough talent where you can't just, they shouldn't just get rolled up by the Saints.
312-332-3776. We're talking football with you here on Black and Abdallah. Let's switch to this. Did you see this story earlier today from Pro Football Talk? Headline, will Deshaun Watson ask for a trade? It's from Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk. The second paragraph says this: rumors already are circulating, and we've already heard them from multiple different people, that Watson has quietly broached with teammates the possibility of requesting a trade. And so that was out there this morning. Ian Rappaport has tweeted something in the last couple of minutes regarding Deshaun Watson as well, and suggesting that Deshaun Watson, because he was left out of the GM search, is disgruntled with the Texans organization. So Ian Rappaport tweeted this at 6:13. So just moments ago, Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson is extremely unhappy with the organization after owner Cal McNair informed him that he would be involved in the GM and coaching hiring process and provide feedback, but then did neither in the hire of GM Nick Caserio, sources say. So that's the latest with Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans. Obviously, when this news is starting to get out, you know, there's a lot of ways we can kind of look at this. In the NFL, it's much more difficult to make these blockbuster trades and deals, especially of these star players with these humongous contracts, with the cap implications and all the dead cap money that goes into it. And especially if you're a Bears fan trying to dream of a day of maybe having a star quarterback for your team, you know that the Bears are up against it with salary cap issues going into the future. This isn't the NBA, where stars just are disgruntled and then they get traded to the team that they, the destination that they want to get traded to. We see this each and every year in the NBA. The next guy who will probably force his hand will be James Harden out of Houston at some point. We saw it with Anthony Davis. We've seen it with athletes, Jimmy Butler at times. Different guys want to get out, and in the NBA you can do it. Is this something, does Deshaun Watson have enough pull to force his way out of Houston? Because I don't want to talk about whether or not a team can actually make this work. I think if it really had to be done, I think teams could figure it out. I think a team could figure out a way to land Deshaun Watson. Yeah. Does he have enough pull to pressure the Texans into forcing them into trading him?
I don't know. I think, so you mentioned the part about Ian Rappaport also saying this has nothing to do with Caserio. This is about the process that he wasn't informed on. So if he sits down with Caserio and Caserio says, look, I know they hired me, they didn't talk to you about it, but I want your input on a coach, I feel like Watson would be fine. You know, if he gets his coach, if he gets the coach that he wants, if he gets to make his or have his input known about who he wants his coach, and he has not final say, but has input on who he would approve of and who he would disapprove of, then I think this is going to be fine. You know, Deshaun Watson isn't, like you mentioned, this isn't the NBA where you can just make it work. This is a team game, and he understands that the guys on that team have worked their butts off for him as well. You know, and I don't think that he would be the kind of guy that if everything does go south, that he just says, nah, screw it, I'm holding out and trade me or I'm out. I think that and Caserio I don't think is stupid either, where he's just going to say, look, I'm going to do whatever I want to, and if we trade you, we trade you. The hardest position in sports to get right is the NFL quarterback. And so if you have that right and the Texans have that right with Deshaun Watson, then I would think you would try to do everything in that power. And I don't think Caserio is dumb enough to do that. I think he's smart enough to realize that he has to keep his star quarterback happy and needs to work with him on who he would want to his coach. And he should. Watson should have some say because he has to play in that system, right? If you hire an offensive-minded coach, and you, whether it's Eric Bieniemy or whoever it is, Brian Daboll, or whoever it is, then you need to have input, because if he says, no, I don't like that style of play, then you're going to have a disgruntled quarterback on your hands and he's going to demand to be traded. But I feel like if they're not dumb enough to not work something out.
So it's not only Florio this morning had the story, right? We saw the tweet from Deshaun yesterday or 2 days ago.
2 days ago. Monday night?
I don't know. This week has kind of blended together. And
what day is it? Monday?
I don't know.
Is it Tuesday?
Friday?
It's Sunday.
It's
right?
Sunday. The game's coming up.
The Bears already lost.
No,
what's going on?
No, please, no. But it's
December 38th, right?
Clearly, the PR firm is out there now because Rappaport just tweeted his thing, and Adam Schefter comes in with the hammer and says, "Here's the story. Here's the definitive story on Deshaun Watson and his unhappiness with the Houston Texans." Mm-hmm. So Schefter's story is now up on ESPN.com. It was just released. And Schefter's story basically has the same information that Rappaport had that we just talked about. But then it also goes into the idea that, you know, we were talking about that tweet. It says, additionally, the Texans did not inform Watson that they intended to hire Caserio. He found out about the hire on social media. That contributed to Watson taking to Twitter that night to post, quote, "Some things never change." Watson's feelings were not directed towards Caserio, sources tell ESPN, but instead they were indicative of the way business was again conducted by the Texans. So now Schefter comes in with the breaking news that Deshaun Watson is not happy in Houston with the Texans.
Look, this is a guy that had the most passing yards in the NFL. He had 8.9 yards per attempt. That's the best in the NFL. He had 444 rushing yards and 3 rushing touchdowns. If they do not get his input and Caserio hires someone out of the blue and Deshaun Watson demands a trade, I'm firing Caserio on the spot. Because why would you make the one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, who's only 25 and signed for the next 4 years, upset?
Yeah. And why would you not include him?
Of course you would.
Wouldn't you want to include him?
Of course you would.
All right, so we're going to keep our eyes on this story, developing story. Deshaun Watson unhappy with the Texans. We'll keep our eyes on this.
You are listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
I do think Deshaun Watson is one of the players in the National Football League who could accomplish this, though. I think he is one of the 5 players who could say, yeah, I'm not playing anymore here. You're going to trade me.
I don't know,
you're
man.
You're trading me.
That's really hard to do in the NFL. Like, because
at a certain point, when we were hosting shows heading into Bears Texans this season,
but if he doesn't play,
season,
they don't have
talking,
to pay him.
Yeah, but like Jamal Adams accomplished this.
Yes, but Jamal Adams is different because the amount of compensation that it would take to get Watson, I don't know if a team would do it. I don't know if a team would give up 5 first-round picks or 4 first-round picks. I mean, you're talking about giving up 5 years of first-round picks. What the dude has been hurt before? Yes, he's awesome, but he's been hurt.
You know my philosophy. I wouldn't do it.
I mean,
I love draft capital, and I think that's how you determine the great teams in the NFL. Depth on your team matters. And so GMs who are always giving up picks, you know, like go back to the Jamal Adams. I thought it was crazy that they gave up what they gave up for a safety. You know, if you make a chart of the most important players on a football field during a game, safety comes in at what?
Yeah.
Out of the 22 positions,
yeah.
I don't know if I'm going nuts over a safety, no matter who it is, if I'm trying to build my team in a smart fashion. So to give up 5 number one picks for someone like Deshaun Watson, I get the player. I'm a big fan of Deshaun Watson. Love Deshaun Watson.
Because think about it.
But I'm not giving up that draft capital.
If you trade him, you're giving up. If you trade for him, and let's say it takes 4 first-round picks, you're giving up a first-round pick every year he's under contract for the rest of his contract because he's under contract through 2025. So that's four more years.
Yeah.
You're giving up a first round, your first round pick. Now, presumably, it would be a late first round pick because you hope that you're getting, you know, playoff appearances, championship games, hopefully a Super Bowl out of it in the next 4 years if you're doing it. So, and the teams that would do it in the back portion of that draft already have their quarterback. So you'd have to have a team that was in the process of some form of rebuilding, and four first round picks is insane. Plus extra. I mean, look, it's not just going to be four first round picks. It's going to be more than that. It's going to be four first round picks, a couple thirds, maybe a compensatory pick or whatever, a pick to be named later.
Maybe a player.
Maybe a player, yeah.
Mike in Tinley Park, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hi, guys. Nice to talk to you again. You guys are somewhat, you guys are brilliant in your arguments. I can't
no one's
get
ever
over
said
it.
That,
I love
thank
listening
you.
To you.
Great call, Mike. Great call.
You have got a defense that's not only crap, it's so overpaid. You can't go after anybody. You got all this money tied up in these underachievers. I mean, it's ridiculous. But you did hit on one thing. They're going to end up, they're going to fire Pagano because now their offense is all cured because they can put up 30 on a horse crap team. But the defense was undercoached, obviously. So they're going to, he'll be the sacrificial lamb. You're right. And they will stay crummy, and they're not. If he gives up four draft picks, he doesn't have it. That, your team isn't good enough to do that. I mean, I just think that these defensive guys are they're killing the team.
Mike, you're one of our favorite callers. Call again, okay?
I love hearing you guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Let's go to George in Old Town. You're on ESPN 1000.
Guys, do you really think you have to give up four first-round draft picks to get Deshaun? If Deshaun's unhappy, maybe they're trying to rebuild there in Houston because they slighted him. Because I didn't announce to him or hear his concerns. You know, I think you can put some kind of trade together, but whatever it is, the Bears should go after it and explore it like they didn't do the first time around.
Oh, interesting take, George. And, George, I think the reason Abdallah suggested four or five first-round picks is because Robert Mays, earlier today on social media, on Twitter, suggested that it would take five first-round picks.
And I'm just doing the quarterback is doubly, if not more important than a safety. And it took two first-round picks for Khalil Mack. So, you know, how much more valuable is quarterback than defensive end or than safety? And I just did the math based on that. I don't know if it'd be five. I don't think you could get someone to give you more first-round picks than his contract is, you know? So that's why I think it'll be four, because you just give one first-round pick for the length of the contract.
Yeah, but with the realignment of the cap and everything, there's probably other concerns here. I mean, Houston is terrible on both sides of the ball. They need a lot of help. Maybe they do want to rebuild, and maybe it's just a good time to, you know, this would be fantastic for Chicago football if we could figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for the phone call, George. We appreciate it. Let's go to Jeff in Westtown. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just wanted to get your opinion. If we allow Ryan Pace to make this move, how do you not fire him instantly? Because you had a chance to get this guy the first time. Now we are how many draft picks in at the quarterback position, and you're setting yourself back another 5 years of first-round picks. How do you let this guy make that call? How did he not die with Mitch when Mitch goes out the door?
Jeff, could you imagine a world where the Bears do pull off a trade to land Deshaun Watson, and it's Ryan Pace trying to give us all the finger and say, blank everybody, I figured it out, I got our guy back. But meanwhile, going into the future, the Bears have no draft capital ever again.
Right.
And it's like Deshaun Watson by himself out there.
I thought we just all assumed if Mitch didn't work out, Ryan was with him. We all said, hey, congrats, you had the stones to make the pick and everything. But if it doesn't work out, then you're going out the door with him. And now we let him completely leverage our future to bring the guy we could have had anyway. Like, what are we doing here?
Well, Jeff, I think a lot of people assume that he'll be back because they made the playoffs.
Okay. I'm with you. I get it. I don't anticipate change either. But now if we're talking leveraging our future even more on this guy, we're just living in crazy land.
No, I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you, Jeff. Thank you for the phone call. You know, I was listening to the Ryan Russillo podcast the other day, and he went through and gave an award to every team in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. He gave 32 awards out, and he got to the Chicago Bears. This is what he said.
Be careful what you wish for award, the Chicago Bears. You made the playoffs, and now everybody's staying, it looks like. You cool with that?
It's pretty right on. Spot on from Russillo, right?
That's what I don't understand. That's what I love
cool
about
that?
That's what I love about Russillo, because he says our exact response to all the Trubisky guys in our mentions that call in. They're like, look what he did.
Yeah,
he won games.
Yeah, look
he
at
got
Mitch.
Us to the playoffs.
QBR.
And it's like, okay,
QBR.
Cool.
QBR.
Great. He got you to the playoffs. That's awesome. And now Nagy's going to stay. And now Pace is going to stay. And now Bill Lazor's going to stay. And John DeFilippo's going to stay. Are you cool with that?
You cool with that?
And when they go, well, you know, because their whole argument is, well, this is all Nagy's fault. They would have been higher up. They probably would have won the division if it wasn't for Nagy. Well, guess
what? Don't forget
what?
To blame the offensive line.
Oh, the offensive line, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? Now they're all staying. You cool with that?
You cool with that?
Be careful what you wish for award, the Chicago Bears. You made the playoffs. And now everybody's staying, it looks like. You cool with that?
To Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This hour is brought to you by our friends at 3CHI. That's the number 3CHI, the leader in hemp-derived cannabinoid products. Visit 3CHI.com for more info and use promo code ESPN21, that's ESPN21, for 5% off.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
A listener of the show, Dean, tweeted this to me over the week at NIU Dean.
Would you save it?
No, yeah, well, I emailed it to myself after the tweet.
Ooh, keeping receipts?
Well, it's something I needed to keep because I wanted to reference it. It's the screenshot of a graphic on Fox during the Bears-Packers game. It's Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, hi, Mitch.
Air yards this season, and it's Trubisky as a passing quarterback. Under 10, his completion percentage, 77%. Touchdown to interception ratio, 13-2. Quarterback rating, 116, under 10 yards. 10-plus yards, his completion percentage drops to 45%. His touchdowns and interceptions, it goes to 3 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. And his quarterback rating drops from 116 to 60.4. And so that graphic...
Yeah,
was sent in, and we talked about it the other night, and I said, from that graphic, I think I've got a new nickname for Mitchell Trubisky. Under 10 Mitch.
I mean, it doesn't really, like, flow off the tongue.
No, it doesn't.
I don't think we're going to be making T-shirts. Let's put it that way.
He's under 10 Mitch. He's great. He is fantastic. Hey, Trubisky Truthers, congrats. Your guy. From the line of scrimmage to 10 yards, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
Shout out to all of you out there. But once he has to throw downfield...
He's not good.
And outside the hash marks...
Not good.
And make reads...
Mm-mm.
Go through his progressions... Not great. So this set up an idea that you had last night. Last night, you thought it would be hilarious to put on a versus battle between me and Trey Tunes, a listener of this fine program.
Yeah, versus style.
And so Trey Tunes came up with a song off of the idea of Under 10 Mitch. And so he sent you lyrics to have me sing.
Yeah.
I'm awful at singing.
We know that.
And so
we know that now.
We did a versus battle last night. This is me singing.
Ugh, you're going to make us hear this again?
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, it's what took place last night on the show.
All right.
There was Rodgers, Fitzpatrick, Cousins, and Minshew.
That's so much
Hill,
worse.
Tannehill, and Rivers, to name a few. But do you recall who faced the weakest defenses of all? Mitchell, the 10-yard Trubisky.
Very flat.
This is awful, right?
It's horrible.
Completely
horrible.
Horrific. There was Rodgers, Fitzpatrick, Cousins, and Minshew. Hill, Tannehill, and Rivers, to name a few.
So those weren't bad.
But do you recall?
That's where you lost me. That's where you lost me. That's where you lost me. The beginning was fine.
No,
like the beginning
it's
was
bad.
Like, we get, okay,
it's all
right,
bad.
All right.
It's all bad.
And then, but you,
it's all bad. Mm. But then Trey Toon's got an opportunity to go. So, like, listen, this is all I'm fighting with. I'm fighting with this crap. There was Rodgers, Fitzpatrick, Cousins, and Minshew.
It's awful.
That's not
Hill,
bad. Your
Tannehill,
Minshew was good.
And Rivers,
wait
to name a few.
Part, though.
But do you recall
who
faced the weakest defenses of all?
You even
Mitchell,
had a little,
the 10-yard Trubisky.
You even had a little bit of vibrato in there on the second line.
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, here, and then Trey Toon's, he then got to play his song. He had music, though. I mean, come on.
We can
there
get you music.
Was Rodgers, Fitzpatrick,
I'll get
Cousins,
you music.
And Minshew. Hill, Tannehill, and Rivers to name a few. But do you recall who faced the weakest defenses of all? Mitchell, 10-yard Trubisky, had very minimal throws. He was not a worry to defenses he opposed. All of the football experts always criticize his game. There was no one more brutal than Mitchell from this plains. Then one day Nick Foles got hurt. I think he pinched his hip. So Mitch became the captain of this sinking ship. Backed into the playoffs, onto the Saints in the Superdome. Mitchell, 10-yard Trubisky, please don't throw picks in the red zone.
Trey Toon's much better than I am.
I feel like I don't want to make more work for Trey Toon's, but like you listen to rap now. And they have all of the, like, the drop-ins.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, Migos, they do a lot of them. Travis, it's lit. Like, they do a lot of them. Like, you know how the actual Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer song goes? Where it's like, they always called him names like Pinocchio.
Yes,
like, you
right,
know, like,
right,
the,
right.
Like, I want ones for Trubisky. Like, this is going to go into the spring, I feel like. But we're gonna be singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer into March. But I want to hear, like, play it again.
My version or his?
His.
Okay.
Right. No one wants
there
to
was Rodgers, Fitzpatrick, Cousins, and Minshew. Hill,
Trey Toon's in the Twitch
Hill,
chat.
Skr, skr.
And Rivers to name a few. But do you recall who faced the weakest defenses of all? Mitchell, 10-yard Trubisky.
Here we go.
Had very minimal throws. He was not a worry to defenses he opposed.
Like the Packers.
All of the football experts always criticize his game. There was no one more brutal than Mitchell from this plane.
Daddy, that's like the bottom
line. One day Nick Foles got hurt. I think he pinched his hip.
Got a pretty cute team there.
So Mitch became the captain of this sinking ship.
Him and Nagy.
Backed into the playoffs.
Daddy like
the Saints in the Superdome. Mitchell, 10-yard Trubisky, please don't throw picks in the red zone.
Like the Packers game.
Yeah, man.
Jose and Hegwisch, you're on ESPN 1000. How bad was I singing, Jose?
Oh, man. You know, I kind of zoned out there for a second, but... Mm-hmm.
It's bad, hey, right?
Yeah, you know, I got some wild for you guys, man. Put down your vape pens and put down your bowls and giddy up, all right? So I don't know about all the money-wise stuff that's going on with these contracts, but, hey, Foles, Mack, and Robinson for Watson and another draft pick that they have. Robinson's unhappy. Foles is a substitute for when Watson leaves. Mack, I mean, it's just a constantary prize. He's still up there in the rank. I mean, it's the only possible scenario I can think of the Bears getting Watson, because we put ourselves in this hole. We have no leverage in this. We have no hat in this. We don't have a dog in this. We don't have a pony in this race. So why not give up a player that is disgruntled over here in Robinson? Give up Foles so they can have a quarterback, and give up Mack for some of that Watson contract. All right, you can pick up your bowls and your vapes now. Have a good night.
Thank you, Jose. Appreciate the phone call.
I mean, no.
More Bears conversation coming up in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1.